U.S. service members who were killed when their plane crashed into the Mediterranean Sea during a routine training mission. Hamas says it has halted hostage negotiations because of Israel's attacks on a Gaza hospital. Dr. Christos Christou with Doctors Without Borders also criticized the attacks on CBS's Face the Nation.
We have to protect the hospitals. Any attack in the medical care at the moment is an attack in humanity.
CBS's Deborah Pata is in East Jerusalem.
The Israeli military says it's now opened an evacuation route from the Al-Shifa hospital, but for many of the patients there in a critical condition, this is simply not possible.
The U.S. is still working to free Americans in Gaza. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
I'm not going to get into the specifics of what's on the table, only to say that we are actively working to ensure the safe return of every American being held hostage and every other person being held hostage by Hamas.
House Republicans have a proposal to avert a government shutdown Friday.
Speaker Mike Johnson released a two-step CR, or continuing resolution, that would extend funding through January 19th and again February 2nd. It would be contingent on passing certain long-term appropriations bills by then. The package does not include funding for Israel, Ukraine, or the border. Johnson said it's a necessary bill to allow Republicans to fight for conservative priorities. House Democrats are still reviewing the measure, but the White House called it an unserious proposal. Nicole Killian, CBS News, Washington.
President Biden is scheduled to meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping on Wednesday in San Francisco. Residents there are already preparing, as KPIX TV's Da Lin reports.
I'm already having difficulties getting around because of the gates putting up.
Alexandra Alvear lives in one of the several senior housing complexes across from Moscone Center.
I don't think I'll be able to go out, really. I've been stocking up on my, household supplies and whatnot.
Like Alexandra, many seniors tell me they've rescheduled doctor's appointments and are preparing the week like a pandemic lockdown.
This year's hurricane season is coming to an end.
There are just under 3 weeks left in the 2023 Atlantic hurricane season. The National Hurricane Center says it's watching a system in the Southwest Caribbean that has about a 20% chance to develop into something stronger, perhaps a tropical system. There have been 20 named storms this year. Only two names remain on the list, Vince and Wilma. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A Wisconsin grand jury has indicted a Connecticut man accused of scamming older Wisconsinites. Consumer watchdogs have some tips to avoid being ripped off. Here's Mike Moan.
Matthew Ramos Soto of Hartford is accused of stealing $200,000 from Wisconsin seniors last year. The scam was to call the victims, falsely claim to be representing one of their younger relatives who had been arrested, and that bail money was needed. The Better Business Bureau's Kristen Johnson says disengaging right away can help people avoid this kind of scam.
Put down the phone, hang it up, and call your grandchild. Do not call the number on your caller ID, because scammers can spoof caller IDs. They can spoof names and numbers. Actually call that grandchild and say, did you really just call me? Are you really in trouble?
Other ways people can remain vigilant are to ask questions of the scammer that only a family member can answer, and to not wire money if there is any doubt about the call. Johnson urges anyone who's been a victim to report it on the Better Business Bureau scam tracker. Ramos Soto faces a maximum penalty of 20 years in federal prison if convicted. Though older adults are some of the more likely targets for scams like this, they're not the most susceptible to them, with experts pointing to vulnerability among those ages 18 to 24. Still, Johnson notes there are big concerns about the impact on older populations.
So while older adults were less likely to fall for scams when targeted, when they did fall for them, they lost a lot more money than someone ages 18 to 24.
Around 74% of adults age 55 and older are susceptible. In 2022, this population lost around $350 on average per scam. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Generally sunny to mostly sunny skies today at 54 degrees. South to southwest winds up to 15 miles per hour. Clear and 34 in the overnight. On Monday, sunny, 53 degrees. On Tuesday, mostly sunny and breezy, a little warmer, up to 58. It's 57 at our studios.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Monday, November 6th, and it is 6:06, not 7:06, in case you forgot to move your clock back. But hey, for some of you, the clock in your car is right again for the first time in several months, right? You know who you are. I was one of those with a Volkswagen that I could never crack the code on how to move that clock. Hey, it's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app, watching us live on social media or on demand as a podcast. We're glad to have you here in the state of Wisconsin Sense, where we unpack the news each morning from our home base, 93.5 The Tap, here in Chippewa Falls, and here's what's on tap for this morning. We start the week with a simple editorial message. It is time to stop playing nice with the politicians who engage in willful malpractice by trying to impeach officials just because they don't like the results of an election. We'll ask whether counter-impeachment articles need to be drawn up just to show the voters why lawmakers operating outside the law deserve to lose their jobs. We're going to visit with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We'll visit with Up North News reporter Selena Heller. And it's Motherhood Monday, so the entire leadership team of Motherhood for Good will be here, marking 1 year to go until the critically important 2024 elections. We'll talk about the big races, the most pressing issues, and how busy parents can engage with each other and talk about this extremely important election. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will have three things you should know to start the week. We'll get our weatherology forecast from meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki. And along the way, if you have anything that you'd like to add from a comment or a question standpoint, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. You can also call or text us through the Civic Media app. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching the show live on Facebook, you can put a comment there. We'll see it and maybe put it on screen and maybe respond to it as well. Temperatures around the state are ridiculously warm compared to about a week ago. Up here on Lake Wissota, it is 56 degrees. This is not a rerun from a summer show. It is 56 right now on this November 6th. Hayward's in at 50 degrees, Green Bay 53, La Crosse 58, Wisconsin Rapids 55, Madison 56. Up in Park Falls, it's 49, over in Oshkosh, it's 54. And it is 52 degrees in Waukesha, where we welcome in Greg Bach after another busy weekend for him, his how do we call it, a comedic troupe or your comedic entrepreneurship? What's the best way to describe what you do on the weekends? It's not just raking leaves.
No, it's not just raking leaves. No. I am the co-owner of a comedy club. So me and my business partners, my cohorts, we run funny, ha-ha shows on the weekends and sometimes during the week too. So.
And was it a good weekend?
Oh, it was a fantastic weekend. We had fun. The shows were really cool. Our headliner, Nate Abshire, who's out of Minneapolis, just very funny, but also just a nice person. Walks in, wants to hug you immediately. It's a good feeling when the headliner wants to be there.
That's great. Good to know. And then do you make time to actually watch the Packers games on Sunday?
I didn't. I wasn't able to this weekend. I was indisposed. It was seeing a play. My niece was in a play. It was 3 hours. And so it was not.
That's all right.
No sports for me this weekend.
That's okay. It was a no TV weekend. Let's see. Barbara writing in from Naples, Florida. It's 56 there. So she's in Naples. Where are my palm trees?
Yeah.
You know, if they can have 56 in palm trees, I would like 56 with palm trees.
Hold on, sir. I'll get right on that. Hold on. Yeah, write that down.
Exactly. This was a weekend where I didn't see the game on TV at all. Caught much of it on the radio because I started Sunday up in the Rice Lake Cameron area, which is in Barron County.
Oh, my gosh.
Which still, I can't believe I'm saying this, is still counted as the Twin Cities TV market. And so that entire northwestern edge of Wisconsin, you know, gets the Vikings games instead of the Packer games. It's just ridiculous. But there was some listening of the game on the radio while driving back. The Packers beat the Rams 20-7. It's funny because Wayne and Larry did not make the game sound pretty while it was going on. Certainly not impressed with Jordan Love. But then when the game was over and it was clear we were going to win, they were like, hey, this was a pretty good game. And especially the running, 184 rushing yards total by the team. Love went 20 of 26 for 228 yards, despite getting sacked four times and still a lot of just really short passes. But they got it done. You know, the Rams didn't have their starting quarterback. The Packers will play at Pittsburgh next Sunday. It'll be a noon game there. All right, let's turn our attention to some of the headlines and unpack the news and things that you can hear on the radio and also watch later on the Up North News social media pages. By the way, one of the questions that we're asking on social media, and you can weigh in here with the answer as well, we always talk about a middle-class tax cut. Governor Evers is asking the legislature to do a middle-class tax cut. And I always like asking this question now and then. Where does the middle class end? What is the maximum household income level that counts as middle class? There isn't, of course, one right answer. It's kind of like, you know, where is up north? Where there is one right answer, it's Highway 29. But other people say there's not one right answer. Same goes for middle class. But what is the upper limit of middle class? The one tax bracket in Wisconsin, there's like three or four of them. But really, there's only one big one. And you could be making as little as $35,000 or as much as $400,000 and pay the same tax rate. Is that enough? Would you just put tax relief right there? Or would you say it's between $35,000 and what? So head over to our Facebook page, scroll down, look for that question, and we'd love to have your thoughts on it. All right, let's start with news from late last week that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had caved into political pressure from others on the far right, including his old buddy turned nemesis, former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. And Voss decided to set in motion the phony articles of impeachment against Megan Wolf, administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And I would like to start off this week with an editorial message about how I very much believe we need to see articles of impeachment drafted against any and every Republican who signs on to these fabrications against Wolf. These are straight up lies. They are kooky conspiracies about the 2020 election, and they have all been proven to be hot garbage again and again and again. And having to review all of it again is such a waste of time and taxpayer resources that I believe it has risen to the level of an impeachable offense itself. You can go, for example, to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel fact check and find that all 15 impeachment articles against Megan Wolf contain something that is false or misleading. Impeachment articles are like a prosecutor building a case. That case better be factual and airtight before you go wasting the time of a judge and jury. So I'm not going to take time this morning to catalog everything they got wrong. Everything from absentee ballots to computer databases to drop boxes to private grants that fill the gaps from legislators' failure to adequately fund local elections. This has all been discussed in the past, and nothing has changed about its wrongness. At some point, you aren't making a mistake anymore. You aren't confused about the facts anymore. You're just lying. And every one of those corrections could be spelled out in counter articles of impeachment that are based not only in dereliction of duty, based not only in the waste of taxpayer funds, like Michael Gableman's bumbling, blustering, big bag of nothing, quote-unquote, investigation, but in carrying out an effort to undermine voter confidence in elections and undermine the elections themselves. And I don't say these things lightly. As a former legislator and as someone who believes that there are a lot of good center-right folks, our friends and neighbors, who, while they don't like that their Republican Party has gone so far off the deep end, they also think that talking about filing counter articles of impeachment might not be helpful. And I understand. I just respectfully disagree this time. The message is this. We've played nice. We have played nice long enough with this Trumpian circus of regurgitating election falsehoods in order to undermine something. Maybe it was just to undermine public confidence in Joe Biden and the legitimacy of the election, but either by accident or by design, it has undermined confidence in our democracy itself. That's a direct threat by fellow Americans who are prepared to embrace authoritarianism and other abominations. Over the weekend, Donald Trump bragged about firing the director of the FBI. His exact words were this: "I got rid of Comey. I got rid of the FBI top officials. I got rid of all of them. If I didn't, I probably wouldn't be standing here talking to you." That's not just bragging. That's a confession about obstructing justice. He also claimed over the weekend he won in all 50 states because he knows if he says it enough, some people will believe him. Now, that kind of lie itself might not be a criminal offense, but we're doing this wrong as a country if we just continue to shrug it off. If we don't hold to account his lieutenants who are taking actual steps to undermine the next election, things like trying to impeach Megan Wolf. We have real problems that affect families, farmers, businesses, the climate, our schools, and more. But this threat to democracy is real too. And if it's not dealt with, all the other everyday problems aren't going to get fixed, and they will all get worse. So yes, if I were still a member of the legislature, I would take steps to have articles of impeachment drawn up against the co-authors of this illegal wolf hunt. And it is illegal. A court has already said the state Senate didn't operate legally in taking a phony vote to fire Wolf. This effort in the assembly, rooted in lies, deserves a legal takedown as well. Not that the counter impeachment will be acted upon, of course. But drawing up a countering set of impeachment articles gives voters a sign that democracy's defenders are done playing nice and are working to hasten the day when there is accountability, political accountability, for undermining the democracy that is the foundation of the United States of America. So what do you think? Should people be talking about impeaching those who abuse the impeachment process? Is that too much? Or is it about time? Our number is 844-967-2789 if you'd like to join the conversation or talk to us online by email. We'd love to have your thoughts. When we come back, we'll have some more of the sports headlines from over the weekend, your calls and comments as they come in, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
For over a decade, Simply Safe has revolutionized home security, and our latest advancement is here, 24/7 LiveGuard protection, only from Simply Safe. Now, monitoring agents can see and speak to intruders through our new indoor camera to help stop crime in real time and for fast police response. Get 20% off any new system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/radio. Advanced home security, 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective.
Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
In 1967, everybody's talking at me. It would later be heard in the movie Midnight Cowboy, an Oscar winner for Best Picture. It's 7:20 across Wisconsin. Nice to have you here on Up North News Radio. The U.S. Supreme Court seemed likely Tuesday to preserve a federal law that prohibits people under domestic violence restraining orders from having guns. It's their first guns case since last year when they rejected gun safety measures. The justices this time, however, suggested that they are likely to uphold a Louisiana 1994 ban on firearms for people under court order to stay away from their spouses or their partners. Liberal and conservative justices sounded persuaded by arguments from the Biden administration's top Supreme Court lawyer that the prohibition is in line with the longstanding practice of disarming dangerous people. I think the legal term for this, I don't know if it actually is this, Greg, but the legal term I believe should be duh. you have a restraining order against you. Maybe we shouldn't have you with guns.
I was also going to oppose doy.
Either one would work. Either one from the original Latin would work in this instance. The message is so clear to Wisconsin Republicans. Get a red flag law passed. Get a red flag law passed now. It is constitutional. It has due process, and they work. You are in such a bad position if you argue, like some people did yesterday, that the Second Amendment is so almighty powerful that people with court orders, meaning they are a proven threat to others or themselves, if you're saying that the Second Amendment is so powerful that it must be allowing domestic abusers, wife beaters, to have guns. Nothing is absolute about what we have in the Bill of Rights. We have the right to free speech, but you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, and there are laws against hate speech and so forth. You have freedom of the press, but the press cannot engage in slander or libel. Similarly, the Second Amendment has limits on it as well. They're not as narrow as many of us think that they should be, but they are there. At some point, we're going to have a Supreme Court that looks at the entire wording of the Second Amendment, especially that part about a well-regulated militia. That's where the Second Amendment rights lie. That's where they're supposed to be, not people who have restraining orders against them. So it was a nice, pleasant surprise that this right-wing Supreme Court seems to at least agree on this much when it comes to the Second Amendment and gun laws. And hopefully, once this decision comes down, and it may not come down till as late as June of next year, but once that decision comes down, perhaps that will give additional cover to legislators in places like Wisconsin to pass a red flag law. But instead, as I mentioned before, the legislature is stuck in, their obsession over 2020 and restricting voting rights and things like that. And we're going to talk more with Jeff Smith about it in a moment, but there was at least an example or two that I wanted to pass along here. For example, one of the measures that came up in the state Senate dealt with saying that only U.S. citizens can vote. Well, that's already in the state constitution, that voting is for U.S. citizens. And there are plenty of other places that make clear that voting is for citizens.
And yet, Senator Dan Knoedl, a suburban Milwaukee Republican, said the bill was inspired in part because a Ukrainian woman tried to vote in a school board election. A Ukrainian woman, one woman, tried to vote who shouldn't have voted. That's their fraud. That's the fraud that, in their mind, necessitates drafting a constitutional amendment, passing it through two sessions of the legislature so that it can then go before the voters, and then run millions of dollars in ads about, you know, foreigners who are trying to steal our elections with fraud, when it's all about one Ukrainian woman who tried to vote in a school board election. But it makes for great political fodder. And I'm sure one of the things we would hear is, you know, well, if it prevents one fraudulent vote, that's good, right? Okay, sure. So here's my response. How many kids have died in school shootings? Where's the logic there that, you know, if it saves one child's life, you should be taking action to reduce gun violence? Some kind of action. Anything. Seriously, anything at all. Something easy like a red flag law. But if you're letting one foreign resident make a decision that is rooted in politics about amending the state constitution while not doing things like keeping our own children safe from massacres, it says just so much about your priorities that you want to waste taxpayer resources to put something in the Constitution that's already in the Constitution. Also passed by the Senate yesterday, a ban on local governments accepting private grants to help elections to stay safe and fair and accurate. And this, again, would be the Zuckerbucks matter. And if you're not familiar with it, it's because Mark Zuckerberg, who helped create Facebook, has a lot of money and decided to use some of that money to help facilitate elections in many places that are cash-strapped because Republican budgets have been cut so sharply. And so if you don't want long, 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 long lines to vote, if you want voting to be safe and easy, you need the resources to make it that way. The legislature's not giving it, but this particular group is. And Republicans acted like their hair was on fire, pointing to the five largest cities in Wisconsin, which happen to vote mostly Democratic, and saying, we've got to get rid of these Zuckerbucks, conveniently forgetting that that same group provided funding to hundreds of municipalities in Wisconsin, thousands around the country. And now they want to put a ban on local governments accepting these private funds from nonprofits to help elections run smoothly, stay safe, stay fair, stay accurate. The answer to that is for the legislature then to invest in democracy and stop making it harder to vote. And yet, that's exactly the kind of thing that took place. All right, much more about that with State Senator Jeff Smith coming up in just a couple of moments, but I wanted to let you know that Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We are part of Courier Newsroom, and Courier Newsroom runs newsrooms, digital newsrooms in 10 states around the country, Up North News included. But Courier Newsroom also has a series of newsletters that you might like to know about here, and that includes a newsletter from our friend Mark Jacob. It's a weekly newsletter called Stop the Presses. It's about how right-wing extremism has exploited the weaknesses in American journalism and what you can do about it. Our friend Kia Vakil has a bi-weekly newsletter to get you up to speed on local political stories from key states ahead of the 2024 election. And Carolyn Fiddler has a must-read newsletter called State House Action. And we got to get her back on the show sometime soon, too. Senator Smith is next. You're up north.
Everybody's talking at me. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Hamas has cut off hostage negotiations, citing Israeli attacks on Gaza hospitals. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on CBS's Face the Nation.
The United States does not want to see firefights in hospitals where innocent people, patients receiving medical care, are caught in the crossfire. And we've had active consultations with the Israeli Defense Forces on this.
A Republican two-part temporary funding plan to avert a government shutdown does not include funding for Ukraine or Israel. Republican Texas Congressman Mike McCall.
The world is on fire from where I sit. It is too urgent. We can't sit back and do nothing.
There are evacuations in Iceland because a volcano may erupt. Journalist Alda Sigmundsdóttir.
We are just currently waiting for the eruption to start. It's highly unlikely that there will not be an eruption. The most likely scenario is that the eruption will happen at any time.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the NBA, the Bucks have a road game Wednesday night against the Raptors. Tomorrow night, the Bucks host the Chicago Bulls. It was a wild week for Giannis Antetokounmpo. On Wednesday, he got ejected from a game for making a mean mug to a Detroit Pistons player, Bucks teammate Brooke Lopez.
We felt there were a lot of questionable calls, but you got to fight through that. And the way Giannis got kicked out, we obviously don't think that was great, or correct. But whatever, we turned it into a positive.
The next night, Giannis put up 54 points in Indy against the Pacers. Head coach Adrian Griffin on what it's like to work with Giannis up close.
It's just awesome to see someone with his length, his size, his footwork, unbelievable footwork. He's all-time great. He's going to go down as one of the greatest players to ever play this game.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? They're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Generally sunny to mostly sunny skies today at 54 degrees. South to southwest winds up to 15 miles per hour. Clear and 34 in the overnight. On Monday, sunny, 53 degrees. On Tuesday, mostly sunny and breezy, a little warmer, up to 58. It's 57 at our studios.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering health care to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap.
I figured it was a good time to play a little Clarence Clemons and Jackson Browne singing You're a Friend of Mine. I needed the proper buddy song to bring in my brother from another mother, Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire area, town of Brunswick specifically. Senator Smith, how are you?
I am just fine.
All right.
How are you, Pat?
I'm doing great. It was, it's nice to finally be able to catch up with you. We've both had busy summers. You come off of that state budget cycle. We're in the fall session now where we could be making a lot of good things happen. We're not really there yet, so we're going to talk about all the issues that you've dealt with. We've reviewed some of them already this morning, and then we can get your take on them. But we want to start with a couple of things that we haven't hit yet this morning. One of them, you reminded me that the challenge to the current gerrymandered maps for the legislature, the newly progressive-controlled state Supreme Court is going to take that case up directly, and opening arguments are November 21st. And, you know, you said you were going to be part of it, and I thought, well, did you win some kind of a ticket lottery? But you actually have a legal reason to be there. So talk about that and, you know, what you're anticipating from this challenge to the maps.
Well, I really can't comment much on that suit other than that being a senator representing an odd-numbered district. It is the odd-numbered Senate districts who are named as respondents or defendants in that case. So the idea being that we would not otherwise be on the ballot in 2024, but if the Supreme Court rules a certain way, they would be asking that everyone, including the odd-numbered, let's just say the odd senators like me.
As somebody who was the senator from the 23rd. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I get it.
Would be on the ballot. So it makes a lot of sense to me. In fact, actually.
Right. And again, you know, if these maps are completely thrown out and redrawn either by the court directly or if they seek out third parties to help, yeah, it does mean the entire legislature would have to stand next November. But we should add as well, Jeff, that there currently is no guarantee. We just don't know the timetable. There's no guarantee that anything will happen before November of next year. We're really just all kind of waiting, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. But so keeping in mind that one last thing to say about that for me is that what they're stressing is that if what they say is true, then we are unconstitutionally representing districts that are, for instance, non-contiguous. I have parts of my district that are little islands that are separate from the rest of my district, and I'm going to add something to that as well, so that the Republicans, in their desperation, you know, they had an epiphany, Robin Voss had an epiphany, Pat,
that's right.
Oh, we should do this. We should have nonpartisan redistricting. So two things I'm going to add to that. We are in the hearing. I pointed out that their wording in their own bill, there were four members of Republican members acting as authors. I say acting as authors because they didn't seem to know their own bill. But specifically one line says, detached parcels are legally contiguous. I think anybody listening here knows what contiguous actually means. You could look it up if you wish.
Now that's funny. That's yeah. Funny that if you're detached, you're legally contiguous. Yeah. Are you going to believe me, or are you going to believe your lying eyes?
That's what we're here for, is to create law, right? So we're creating a new definition of contiguous in the law. The other part is that you're going to get a kick out of, I'm afraid, is that they continue to say nonpartisan, 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 like the Iowa model, nonpartisan. So I finally had enough, and I turned to the Ledge Council, as you know, is the person that we all turn to, and said, it isn't nonpartisan, and I wish everyone would quit saying that. Is that not true, Ledge Council? It is bipartisan. And he turned and smiled at me, and he said, you're right, Senator Smith. I said, could you read to the authors what it actually is? And in actuality, if this sounds familiar to you, you might recognize it as two members chosen by Republican caucuses and two members chosen by the Democratic caucuses, with a fifth member chosen by those four as their leader or director. And does that sound a little bit like the Wisconsin Elections Commission that they're so proud of these days?
It's exactly like the Wisconsin Elections Commission that they created to be gridlocked. They created it to be three Democrats, three Republicans. They got rid of the highly nationally regarded Government Accountability Board, which used retired judges instead, and set up this thing that was designed for gridlock. And it sounds exactly like what they want to do if their idea of redistricting reform were to go through. And Jeff, there is not any sign that Governor Tony Evers would greet that bill and say, guys, you've done it. We have figured out redistricting reform. We don't need that court case in the Supreme Court. I'm signing this bill. You get any indication like that from the governor?
No, yeah, no. Because the fact is the legislature shouldn't be stepping in on this again until 2031. We have a lot of time to get it right. And my view and what I preach right now is we're done playing this game with a statute change. We need a constitutional change with language in there that ensures that no future legislature can tamper with the system. I think that's the only way to go. We've got till 2030 to do that. And in the meantime, let the courts make their decisions, help us, guide us with some language, and we'll get this done the right way.
Very good. Again, those opening arguments, November 21st before the state Supreme Court. Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, which are now colored somewhat by the departure of Craig Counsell, the manager of the Brewers, and all the talk about what does the Brewers team actually have for funds to pay players, to pay a manager, to pay for renovations. And that number is still, seems to me, very fluid, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. I know there have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid. How would you describe how things are looking there right now on the stadium bill?
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So, yeah, it's really true because we as a Democratic caucus agree that there. Thanks for the steps forward, but we have a lot more ways to go. We don't feel like we've been included or listened to in our needs are. And the fact is, we don't very often have an opportunity to make a difference. The Republicans ignore us. They have this rule of 17, as you may know, and we probably quickly can explain. That means in the Senate, all 17 votes that they need to pass something must come from the Republican caucus. Otherwise, they don't take a vote on it. Well, here we have some important things that have to be done, including this stadium bill that they can't seem to get 17 members on board. So they're begging us for votes. And it's pretty hard to convince us that we should vote for their bill until we get some concessions our way that we feel is more compatible to protecting the taxpayers. And you know, really, we got to go back and answer to our voters, right?
Would I be right or wrong in drawing a comparison to 2007 when I was in the Senate, you were in the Assembly, and the issue was a proposed smoking ban, and that it was so clearly not a partisan issue at all. There were Democrats passionately for it, passionately against it, Republicans passionately for it, passionately against it. But now you're telling me the Senate Republican caucus won't move anything until all 17 of them agree on something. Let me ask, put it to you this way. Should this issue be kind of like the smoking ban where the caucus leaders in both houses say, guys, on this one, you know, figure it out amongst yourselves and we're not going to hold you to a party line vote?
Well, think about this, Pat. They have 22 members in our Senate, 22, and they can't get 17 votes. In fact, from what I'm hearing, they only have half of their members. So they're really split down the middle on this. Does that So how does that, what kind of message does that send that this is so important, we need to do this right away? Apparently we've got everything fixed in this state, and we should just worry about this, the baseball stadium, which, by the way, they have contract to continue to stay in until 2030. So I there's a little bit of me, a lot of me actually, that says, what's the hurry? Maybe we should be taking up some of the more important things right now.
Oh, there are definitely more important things. We certainly talked about those here, childcare and workforce issues and everything. But again, I've got to get one more purely political thing out of the way, and that's Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. He flip-flopped late last week, saying he was going to advance articles of impeachment against Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, get that process going in committee. Yesterday, he apparently flipped back and said that there's no consensus in his caucus, the Assembly Republican caucus, on whether to hold a floor vote on impeaching Megan Wolf. So, again, just an amazing waste of time, it seems to me.
Well, they can't even do this, Pat. Unfortunately, those groups that are running ads against him are continuing to live in this imaginary world of the power that someone like the Wisconsin Elections Commission Director Megan Wolf has, which she has no power that is not directed to her by that 6-member commission, which, again, as you and I mentioned, is split by Republicans and Democrats. But they're doing these things basically for votes for next year. They are running scared, Pat. They're running scared. It makes me smile inside that there's so much desperation out there. We mentioned already the introduction of a redistricting plan, trying to impeach a Supreme Court justice, trying to impeach the Elections Commission director. And then you had mentioned in your earlier segment about the bills that we heard yesterday. Everything is messaging right now to that extreme base.
Yeah, just messaging ahead of an election rather than getting stuff done in the odd numbered years, which is what a legislature should be doing. So let's conclude on that note. If Jeff Smith could get his agenda passed through this fall session, what, one, two, three things are on your must pass list for this fall?
Well, we'd go back to the original budget proposed by Governor Evers and get that engineering building done in Madison. If you want to protect Wisconsin's leadership in education and in jobs and in the UW research and system, we need to invest in it and continue to invest in it. I would also go back to childcare plus, childcare counts. I mean, that is such a critical piece right now. And we found that out during the pandemic. Are we so far removed from the pandemic now, we decided to forget how important that is and how our families right now not everyone can get back to work because they can't afford it or find childcare that they need. So these are really important things. And let's finally get over and pass the fright that some members have about marijuana and join the 20th century in that regard, and go back to, you mentioned this resolution about Zuckerbucks. Well, let's fund our elections and our clerks and our municipalities so that they don't need private grants to actually allow people to vote.
How about that in Ohio? Everybody was talking about issue one, abortion rights, and that passed overwhelmingly. But there was also issue two in deep red Ohio. They legalized recreational marijuana yesterday. When you let the people vote, this is where they want to be.
Yeah, we know that from all surveys, right? And I'm sorry I missed that. I missed that on my list because absolutely let's get that out of the way. Let's just make sure we're protecting women and their not just their right to choose, their health. This is a health care issue, as you well know, Pat.
Oh, yeah, very much so. All right, Jeff, we're not going to wait so long next time to catch up. Thanks for making a little time here, and see you next time you're back home up here in the Chippewa Valley.
All right, thanks, Pat.
All right, thank you, Senator Jeff Smith. When we come back, Luke Mathers will join us and talk a bit about what you can hear all around the Civic Media Radio Network. That's next. You're up north.
Ninety-3.5, The Tap. Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is 93.5 The Tap. You.
Well, Luke Mathers is here now, super producer across the Civic Media Radio Network. Is it that time to talk about Christmas programs and Christmas music already, Luke?
Yeah, I hate to break it to you, but 6 to 8 a.m., we're just going full Christmas here to the end of the year. So sorry. You didn't get the memo, Pat. You didn't get the memo.
Sleigh bells.
And just this song.
And just this song again and again and again.
Over and over and over again.
No, I bring up Mariah Carey because we are getting close to the holiday season. We've been talking about Halloween and Thanksgiving. But the Civic Media folks, are already talking about, you know, Christmas parties or Christmas get-togethers, maybe a little retreat of some sort. And it just seems, I know it's November, but it just seems weird that, you know, you and a few other folks down there are already thinking about what are the holiday plans going to be for this fine radio network.
Well, Pat, if we're not thinking about it, it's then all of a sudden Christmas is going to be here before we know it, and so we're not going to be prepared. So yeah, we're not blowing out the 6 to 8 a.m. morning slot with Christmas music here to the end of the year, but we are getting ready for a entire statewide network, hopefully being able to get together. We want to see everybody in person, and since we're all dispersed so far across the state, we do want to be able to have those opportunities.
I have a question for you. That was a great answer, Luke. And as my boss, I truly respect everything you do and think you are a handsome, tall man. Is that a poker table behind you? And what are you doing?
It is.
My God. You know what I got behind me? I have a chair that no one sits in.
We were getting set up with the new, it hasn't gone home yet, but this is my personal poker table.
It's my Tuesday poker table.
Okay.
Before we had furniture here in the new headquarters in Madison, we needed for the engineers to be able to not just be putting together all of these computers and different equipment that was going across the state. They needed more tables. And I was like, well, I have a poker table, and I had another circular card table. That one fits in my car. I was able to take that one home, but the poker table doesn't fit nicely in the back of my car, so therefore I'm waiting until I have the wife's vehicle to be able to take it home. So therefore it's just sitting behind my desk.
Listen to him, the wife's vehicle.
That was a really long answer just to say, yeah, we played poker last night.
Just to say, yeah, let's not check his reimbursement records. He and Sarah Huckabee Sanders using the same reimbursement rep for their lecterns and furniture.
It's my own thing. I'm not trying to bill anybody. I was being helpful.
Luke, we get it.
Greg's not accusing you of anything. Look,
why are you getting so emotional?
Greg changed his on-screen title from producer to "Isn't Luke Mathers a handsome guy?"
I mean,
clearly he respects you.
Clearly, thank you, Pat.
You're very welcome,
Luke. I wanted to share with you really quick what happened in the interview with the state senator. The greatest thing ever said when we were talking about the Brewers. State Senator Jeff Smith said to Pat Kreitlow, "You're a man of words."
Hey,
that's a very apt description.
I love that. I love that. That made me so happy.
I have many leather-bound books. I don't know if you know this, Greg.
Do you have the biggest Bahrain?
I used to be a big deal. So,
You're a big deal, right?
A lot of people do not know. The movie Anchorman was based on a memoir that I never had published, but it does. The movie aptly describes my early life in TV.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why you're saying you used to be a big deal. Come on, Pat.
You're a big deal.
Come on.
I'm a big deal.
You are Lake Wissota.
Confines. Yeah, that's right, Mr. Lake Wissota. Now I've got a whole bunch of neighbors that are ready to take issue with that one. Let's talk about civic media and the entire big radio network, because we know we talk about the other 8 o'clock shows all the time. Earl Ingram, Chad Holmes, Stephanie Miller, James Jay in Wisconsin Rapids. We talk about As Goes Wisconsin, Todd Alba, Matt Flynn, Devil's Advocates, Maggie Dawn. But it's those 7 o'clock shows, which actually are where I cut my teeth in civic media, having a Wednesday evening podcast. Yeah. It's these Wednesday night shows that need a little more love and attention, because there's some interesting stuff there. Rather than rattle down the list Monday through Friday, if I just left it there open-ended, Luke, and I said, pick one of these 7 p.m. shows and tell us about it, which one comes to your mind first?
Well, today's Wednesday, and we've got the Empowered Caregivers coming up this evening at 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Liza Hellebrand hosts a conversation by and for caregivers. Liza was just in Washington, D.C., doing her first trip for advocacy to Wisconsin lawmakers, encouraging them to support federal legislation for caretakers and family members of those caretakers. And so very, very terrific show. You can tune in across the Civic Media Network at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays for the Empowered Caregivers. But you're right, Pat, there's no shortage of excellent content in the 7 p.m. hour. So depending on your station and what day of the week, you're going to want to tune in. And if you're not going to be able to get the excellent program on your station, there are a variety of shows on different days of the week as well. So head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You can see the entire lineup there, and you can learn more about all of the excellent 7 p.m. programming.
And that would include in Wausau on Bull Falls Radio on Wednesdays. You actually have Chad Holmes and the Big High School Sports Show,
yes,
which is just great local programming. But if you're in the Wausau area and you want to hear, you know, the Empowered Caregivers show, then go to the website, find out how you can listen to it there, or subscribe to it as a podcast.
Your podcasts are listened to. Yep. Apple, yep. Spotify, all of the excellent podcast platforms. You can catch all of Civic Media's programming there. So if you like a favorite show and you're not able to tune in live on the radio every day, which in my opinion is the way you should be listening.
Of course, but nice of us to give a backup plan.
Yeah. Right. If you can't make it all live, then subscribe to wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can get the episodes to appear in your podcast feed on whichever app you prefer to use.
I want to make special mention as well that Native Roots Radio has moved to 10 p.m. And on this American Indian Heritage Month, it would be it's a good reason for me to mention again, either trying to listen live at 10 or looking for, you know, the best way to listen back on demand as they talk about the issues that are important to Indigenous communities, but also talk about, you know, the talent and the opportunities that you'll find in the community as well. Again, I used to listen to it leading into the Wednesday evening show and always found it fascinating, and just want to recommend that to folks as well.
Yeah, Robert Pilot and his whole team for Native Roots Radio do a tremendous job. And you're right, Pat. This month of Indigenous Native American History Month is an excellent, excellent time to go seek out that podcast and learn more about what's going on in the community.
Well, with that, we better not keep you. There's a poker game happening someplace. And half-table will travel.
Poker face.
If you guys are cool enough, maybe you'll get the secret invite one day. Who knows?
Oh, boy, can't wait.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to hold my breath.
Just give you $20.
Yep. Luke Mathers, thank you very much.
Take it easy, gentlemen.
Have a great day. Greg, thank you as well.
Thank you, sir.
Again, coming up, Earl Ingram across most of the Civic Media Radio Network with Chad Holmes in Wausau, James in Wisconsin Rapids, Stephanie Miller in Madison. Again, you can stay up to date on all we do at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Sign up for our newsletter there. You can follow me on social media, Pat Kreitlow or Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook. Enjoy your Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap, the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette. 5 service members were killed when their plane crashed into the Mediterranean Sea while training. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said in a statement, "We will remember their sacrifice."